from the nation's capital. This is DC Public Safety. I'm your host, Leonard Sipes. Our show today, ladies and gentlemen, information sharing between parole and probation and law enforcement. Back at our microphones, Adam Matz. He is a research associate with the American Probation and Parole Association, www.appa-net.org. And we have Yogesh Shavla. He is an information sharing specialist with SEARCH and the National Consortium for Justice Information Sharing. The website for SEARCH is www.search.org, www.search.org. Adam, welcome back. Yogesh, welcome to our microphones at DC Public Safety.
Great to be back. Thanks.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Len.
Well, it's great to have both of you, Adam. I thank you for doing these shows with the American Probation and Parole Association. Always great shows, some of more popular shows. All right, we're talking about information sharing between parole and probation and law enforcement, and you all wrote an article that is currently being submitted talking about the Offender Transfer Notification Service. And I want to start off with establishing some of the definitions that we're dealing with here. Essentially, Adam, tell me if I'm right or wrong, we have a prototype program that electronically sends out information on offenders being transferred from one state to another to a law enforcement fusion center. And when they get that information, they can disseminate that to everybody else in that law enforcement fusion center or in that state, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. The Information Exchange Project, APPA, the American Probation and Parole Association, has been working with SEARCH, who's the technical partner on this particular exchange. We partnered with the Interstate Compact for Adult Offender Supervision, and what we've done is developed a project where a subset of the state transfers, folks deemed potentially dangerous, whenever their transfers are approved and they are ready to be relocated to another state, the idea behind this exchange is that that state will receive notifications. So the fusion centers in that state will receive notifications of these individuals, and it's just basic information. And then those fusion centers are then able to turn around and distribute that information through their channels to the local law enforcement in that state.
Okay. Now, we do have, and for our it's mostly a criminal justice audience, but for the non-criminal justice audience, I always use the same example to the aid of the mayor of Milwaukee, who's looking for information about information sharing between parole and probation and law enforcement. The states transfer people under supervision to each other all the time, and there's hundreds of thousands of people moving from one state to the other for a wide variety of reasons. That state, through the Interstate Compact, the receiving state, must accept this individual. And it happens routinely, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so the idea is to be sure that law enforcement through a fusion center, and describe to me what a fusion center is.
Yeah, the fusion centers, state fusion centers, and there's roughly 70 of them across the country. But basically after 9/11, there was concern about information sharing across the country. And the Department of Homeland Security was a big part of developing these fusion centers. And they're maintained by the individual states. And they are basically responsible for compiling information on various different, it could be criminal, it could be disaster-related type information, compiling that information and making folks in that state aware of those.
So that was in reaction to the criticism after 9/11 that law enforcement agencies and criminal justice agencies were not talking to each other.
That's right. Exactly right.
Okay. So the idea here and the idea behind the article is that you're pilot testing this in New York State, but this is something that's going to be expanded to the possibility of it being expanded to all the other states throughout the United States.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, the Interstate Compact, as you know, it's national in scope. So it takes care of all the exchanges or all the transfers for all the states in the country. Now, where we're at with this exchange is we've had a pilot in place with New York State Intelligence Center, the New York State Fusion Center, to receive notifications of individuals transferring into that state. And that can include anyone across the country, any of the other 49 states. And that's been going on for about a year. Now, on average, they get basically about 10, maybe 10 to 15 notifications per week.
Mm-hmm. This is in New York State.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Because what they're not talking about every offender. They're talking about those deemed to be of most concern. Those are the people at the highest risk.
Yeah, that's right. And to kind of expand on that, one of the conversation points we had early on, we had work group meetings several years ago on this, was there's no standardized risk assessment instrument across the country. And that was kind of an issue. So we couldn't really go by a risk level, if you will, because it varies based depending on what instrument folks use. So because mm-hmm. of standardization, what we ended up doing instead was relying on primary offense NCIC codes.
Right.
Basically, the primary offense, what level that is, and the seriousness of that. And we worked with, obviously, the Fusion Center in New York to develop that specific list as well.
All right. So the bottom line behind all of this, though, is that this is the program that we're going to be talking about, or the issue, the Interstate Commission for Adult Offender Supervision is what we're talking about today. But I just want to make it clear to the listeners that the vast majority of information exchange between law enforcement and parole and probation and corrections is done at the local level. Like here at the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency, and for those that don't know, we are a federal agency. We provide parole and probation services to Washington, D.C. We're in constant contact with law enforcement, anywhere from the FBI to the Secret Service to Housing Authority, but principally the Metropolitan Police Department. We're in touch with them on a daily basis, exchanging information. Our parole and probation agents, known here as community supervision officers, are constantly exchanging information with police officers at the street level. So when I don't want to give the opinion or the sense that the bulk of this information exchange happens through this sort of mechanism, that the bulk of information exchange happens at the command level and between individual police officers and parole and probation agents, correct?
Yeah, that's right. And to kind of build on that a little bit, and we've had prior shows about police and probation and parole partnerships and sort of the informal information sharing that happens. This exchange is new. There's not any previous sort of attempt to share information like this between the Interstate Compact and law enforcement. So it is kind of a nice opportunity to kind of automate, because it is automated. There's no manual aspect to it. Once the exchange is established, the information, the notifications go out basically as soon as they're ready. And usually it's once a week, but it's kind of configurable depending on the Fusion Center and how they want to receive it and how they want to disseminate it. So there's some flexibility in there as well. One thing I want to point out, too, is the goals of this exchange in particular. One of the primary goals of this exchange from the very beginning has always been about increasing officer safety, particularly police officer safety and situational awareness. And there's, obviously different examples of where maybe law enforcement go into situations where they're not fully prepared, or maybe they're not fully aware of the individuals they're dealing with. So the genesis behind this exchange is twofold. One, it's officer safety. And two, it's really about encouraging more dialogue, more coordination between police and probation and parole agents.
Which is a good thing, which is a necessary thing. Yogi Shavla, I apologize for not getting into you. I'm looking down at my time clock, and we're close to 9 minutes involved in the program, and you and I haven't even talked yet. But I do. Let me give something in the article that both of you wrote, along with Harry Hageman, is it, and Gloria Brewer. The one example that you provide in this article is Washington State parolee by the name of Maurice Clemens was involved with the murder of four police officers back in 2009. And your article says that though it's unclear whether such a tragic, complicated incident could have been prevented, it was understood that there was a need for greater information sharing between law enforcement and community corrections. Do you want to comment on that?
Sure. One thing I'd like to point out is a lot of the challenges we have with information sharing exchanges is the cost and the scope of them. The one nice thing about this particular project when we started it is we had a national focus in mind. We couldn't be thinking in silos or in state-to-state or point-to-point exchanges. When we built this exchange, we said, how can we get this information to all 50 states, get all 50 states sending and receiving these offender transfers so we can scale our officer safety so it's not just limited to certain jurisdictions. So what we did is what we had in mind with this exchange is in the initial pilot is to build as much functionality as we can, and then we're basically in the process of rolling this out to other states. And if states want to receive this information, they could do it at a very low cost. Basically, all they'd have to provide is an internet connection and a server which would receive it, and then they would be receiving these transfers. And once they get them, they can disseminate them to their local partners as they wish to do. So we do have this national scope in mind, and cost is a really important thing, especially when we're looking to scale out to the entire country.
You know, I've taken up so much of the program just trying to form a baseline for the person listening to the program. But let me do the final baseline issue when we'll probably come close to halfway through the program. Adam, the American Probation and Parole Association is the premier organization in the United States providing information for the rest of us in community supervision, providing us with information and research and guidance in terms of what good parole and probation, what state-of-the-art parole and probation, what evidence parole and probation is, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yogesh, give me, you're with you're an information sharing specialist for the National Consortium for Justice Information Sharing, and you were also with CERCH. So give me a sense as to what the National Consortium for Justice Information Sharing is, and then give me a sense as to what CERCH is.
Sure. CERCH is basically the National Consortium for Justice Information Sharing. We're a membership-based organization, and we have representatives from all 50 states. And we're a nonprofit, and we've been around since 1969. So we've been doing justice information sharing when it was originally done with paper and pen or telephone. And we've seen that all the way through to a lot of the advances we've made with justice information sharing in technology. What we try to do is we try to provide local jurisdictions, states, even national public safety organizations with the tools to do justice information sharing. And that's planning, design, and implementation and support. So if you have a justice information sharing problem, we're here to provide a solution basically from point A to point Z. And in this specific exchange, we partnered up with APPA to provide the technical resources to actually write the software which is doing the exchange here, and to do it in such a way, since it's funded by federal grants, in a way where it can be reused in, for example, other exchanges. At the time this exchange was being written, there was also a sex offender exchange, which is very similar, that was being written, where as sex offenders move from one state to the other, where there could be a notification in place for that, for the Adam Walsh Act. So one of the great things about this project is not only are we allowing it to scale when we're adding different states to it, we've also created an infrastructure out there nationally. So if states want to do information sharing projects in the future, there's basically a cloud infrastructure out there, so they have a place to put their information exchanges. And we're looking to expand that as other information sharing needs become available.
You know, I go back an awfully long time. I've been involved in the criminal justice system for 45 years, for 35 years, in terms of doing media-related endeavors for the criminal justice system. And I can remember CERCH from the very beginning of my career, and I can remember the American Probation and Parole Association from the very beginning of my career. So I just wanted to give the listeners a sense that I'm talking, they're listening to representatives from two organizations that have been around for decades.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we are more than halfway through the program. Are we? No, we're a minute before we get to the halfway point before I reintroduce you. So the Interstate Commission for Adult Offender Supervision is what, Yogesh? Give me a very brief synopsis of that.
Sure. I'm actually going to throw that question over to Adam. He's been very involved with that.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So the Interstate Commission for Adult Offender Supervision. They obviously, the Interstate Compact, there's Interstate Compact offices in every state, but then there's also a sort of a primary headquarters, if you will, that's also in Lexington, Kentucky. APPA partnered with ICAOS to develop this exchange. It's obviously to support their work. It's all the data we're talking about is ICAOS, IKEAOS Data.
Okay, and let's stay away from acronyms if we could, again, for that general audience. The Interstate Compact for Adult Offender Supervision, right?
Yeah, the Interstate Compact, basically they are the ones that facilitate the transfers of probation or the parolees across state lines.
Okay. And we're talking about, I said hundreds of thousands. I was wrong because I'm looking at the article itself. We're talking about 150,000 transfers a year from one state to the other.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And since there's such a volume of transfers, the 150,000, you know, as we stated before, we're focusing just on the high-risk offenders here.
Right. Okay. Well, let me reintroduce both of you because I find this to be a fascinating program, the concept of information sharing between parole and probation and corrections and law enforcement. We have two people back at our microphone. Adam Matz, a research associate with the American Probation and Parole Association, www.appa-net.org is the website for the American Probation and Parole Association. Yogis Shavla, he is an information sharing specialist for the National Consortium for Justice Information Sharing, or search www.search.org, www.search.org. Both Adam and Yogesh and two other people put together an article that's currently being considered for national publication, talking about using information technology to share information about high-risk offenders as they move from one state to the next. Again, with the idea that most of this information exchange does occur on a day-to-day basis between law enforcement and parole and probation agencies and correctional agencies, and that happens automatically. But this is really exciting because what we have here with the Interstate Commission for Adult Offender Supervision is the idea that we can eventually bring every state in the United States into this concept. It's being field tested with the state of New York, bring every state in there. So all high risk offenders, when they're being transferred from one state or the other to the other, they don't fall through the cracks. Law enforcement is notified through something called a fusion center, and that fusion center distributes that information to all other law enforcement agencies in the state, correct?
Yeah, that's right. And just to kind of chime in a little bit, we're kind of using the term high risk, but that's kind of used loosely. As I mentioned before, there's no standardized risk assessment across the country. So I think probably the best way to refer to it would be potentially high risk or potentially dangerous.
Based upon the crime that they're being supervised for.
Correct, yes.
Okay. And so the goal of the information sharing is officer safety and public safety, right?
That's correct. And it's also to encourage more partnerships, more collaboration between police and probation and parole. And I also want to throw in real quick, this project is funded by the Bureau of Justice Assistance. It's Bureau funded by Department of Justice. And those incidents like the Maurice Clemens case, those are kind of the incidents that help kind of bring this to the attention at a national level. And that's really what kind of created the genesis for this kind of exchange and all this work that we're doing. So I wanted to plug that in there, too.
Now, you have here NIEM. What does National Information EM stand for?
Sure. You know, in the technical arena, we often run into lots of acronyms. And one of the things that the USDOJ and the Bureau of Justice Assistance provided was something called the Global Reference Architecture. Many times as IT practitioners, it seems like we're speaking a language, but then when we speak to each other, we're also speaking a different language. And what we really saw a need for in the justice arena and in the information sharing arena just in general was the need for standards and standardization. And the global reference architecture really provided that. One of the building blocks of that is called the National Information Exchange Model. Mm-hmm. And that's basically the vocabulary that we use to talk to each other. When we're defining what an offender is, an offender obviously has a first name, a last name, an address that they're going from, an address they're going to. And what the National Information Exchange Model allows us to do is to package these up into the language it's built on. It is called XML. Some of the tech people out there might know that. But it allows us to package this up and allows us to basically speak the same language. So if computer A and computer B are talking to each other, they're both speaking with the same language, the same vocabulary. And what you can do with this is, for example, right now we're using this specific exchange for offender transfer notifications. However, if you wanted to use the same information in a different way, you wouldn't need to go and reprogram everything. You could say, hey, we have this offender transfer profile that we've developed here. How else could we use it? Would we like to use it to create more statistics? Would we like to use this for a web portal so people can go search around and see who's moving into their neighborhood, things like that. When you use NEEM and you use the global reference architecture, it's all in the whole purpose of it is to reduce costs and to take one exchange that you write and make it applicable for multiple purposes. That way, every time we need to do something new in IT, we're not going back and asking for more money to write something new. So BJA has been very instrumental in leadership in developing the global reference architecture, and that was the building blocks for the exchange that we developed here.
But that's always been the problem for search across the board, Yogesh, because you're dealing with 50 states, and in some of our information center systems that we've created, it goes way beyond 50 states. It goes into every law enforcement agency, every parole and probation agency. So there has to be an architecture that is common to almost every jurisdiction out there, and that they understand and can be properly maintained, so the entire country can talk to each other instantaneously if necessary. I mean, that's the heart and soul behind search, I would imagine, throughout the decades, is building those architectures that work from one criminal justice agency to another.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's really instrumental here. And a couple of things I want to point out. I just want to give the listeners here a concrete example of Please. What we're talking about.
Please.
When we're exchanging this information all goes over the internet. So there's a certain level of security that we need. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we want to use encryption, so anything that goes across the wire, no one can read it. We don't want, if you read about a lot of these credit card breaches and whatnot, a lot of this encrypted information gets out there. The other thing we want to do is we want to digitally sign every message. So if somebody takes one little piece of the message, they try to change the offender's name or the risk profile, that message would get rejected. The other thing we do is we put a timestamp on a message so it's only valid for a very short period of time. Now, if you look at these requirements that we have right here, trying to get everyone to decide on how to program these specific things would be very difficult to do unless we had a reference architecture. So the reference architecture provides us guidance and says, hey, if you want to timestamp your messages, this is how you would want to do it. If you want to encrypt your messages, this is how you would do it. If you want to sign your messages, this is how you do it.
Got it.
And the nice thing about it, it's built on already existing IT standards. So it provides us a clearinghouse, a place where we can look to say, okay, here are our requirements. How do we do this in the justice arena?
Adam, now you're polytesting this in the state of New York. How has that polytest been going?
The pilot test has been great. We implemented it, I believe it was September of last year, so September of 2013. We've only had a few, maybe technical hiccups, but very minor real issues. And basically, it's been automated for practically a year. We have been keeping tabs on basically how many notifications would go to other states if they were connected. So we have some data on that as well, sort of helps us prioritize. One thing I want to mention, too, with that pilot, we did do just a few small interviews with a couple different jurisdictions in New York and kind of get a sense of, how's the information used? Is it helpful? And one of the things I will note is most folks agreed pretty much unanimously that the information is great. It's helpful. We mentioned a little bit about local partnerships and information being shared. Now, in some cases, that's true. There's some of this information being shared already. What's kind of interesting, though, is that from the comments I got, a lot of times that information was isolated to just that jurisdiction. What they like about this notification is they get information about people going across the state. Not only that, they get a little bit more information. So this information exchange includes pictures with it. Those are types of extra elements that they're not getting already at the local level. So it not only is great national level, but it also builds on any sort of local information sharing.
Well, and it's important, again, because what we're talking about is, A, expanding this from New York to every other state through, I'm assuming, funding from the Bureau of Justice Assistance to the U.S. Department of Justice, which is right up the street for me, and the possibility of using this for other endeavors, correct?
Yeah,
or have we gone that far?
Well, we're currently in talks with four or five states right now who are really excited about this. And, you know, when we brought up the existing pilot and the level of effort for them to connect, a lot of the states were really happy to hear that. Based off the work we've done in New York, we can basically just take what we have in New York and basically just drop it onto their server. And they should be able to connect it at a very low cost. And that allows us to scale the grant money that we have left as well. And that was one of the advantages of using the global reference architecture. So if there are any listeners out there who are working in local law enforcement or who work at a fusion center or working in information sharing in a state, and you're looking for a very simple project, a very easy win, and a very easy way to provide additional information to your local law enforcement for public safety, this would be a really good exchange at looking at joining, since the cost is so low and since you can see results so quickly.
Well, I would imagine in terms of any information sharing across state lines, they would automatically go to search, considering the fact that search has been around for a decade. What else could the system be used for?
Yeah, just to build on that a little bit, the Interstate Compact actually right now the focus is obviously sharing information with law enforcement, but the Interstate Compact may find other uses for this or other means of sharing information with other organizations like the courts or so on and so forth. So there might be more application for this for the Interstate Compact than what we're currently using it now, even though our focus is very specific at the moment.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it, you know, the idea of people at a – I'm sorry, I don't know how else to put it – at a certain risk level, I know we're not using an objective risk instrument to judge risk. But if you're transferring – if a person is transferred from Nebraska to Maryland and the person has a homicide charge, that sort of person is something that the state of Maryland is going to want to know about.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. So the idea here is that instead of just going to Baltimore and the Maryland Division of Parole and Probation sharing that with Baltimore police, well, that offender could easily go across county lines to four or five counties away. And so that's the beauty of not just local information sharing between local police and local parole and probation officers. That's the beauty of sharing it through the Fusion Center. So the entire state is notified that George Smith, who was convicted of homicide, but now he's going to be supervised in the state of Maryland. And we do want him to do this, by the way. I mean, for the casual person listening to this, we do want people to go through the Interstate Compact and be transferred from one state to the other, because we don't want that person taking off on their own. We do want that person, if that person has a legitimate reason to be in that other state for family or for job or for whatever reason, if they have a legitimate reason for being in another state, we want them supervised, thus the Interstate Compact, right?
Yeah, that's right. And the other really nice thing about the way that this exchange is set up and the information that's being shared is that along with each of those individuals, the information, and it's just the basic information about who they are and where they're located and what their, if there's gang affiliation, those kind of things. It doesn't include, all their background. It doesn't include that. It's just very specific, here's an individual that's coming in and here's where they're going. And it also includes the contact information for the supervising officer, if that's probation or parole officer.
Right.
Which is great.
So they can get the information they need, because if a county, I'm going to use the state of Maryland again, if a county three counties away from Baltimore City where that person is going to live suddenly has, if a sex offender has been transferred and suddenly starts getting sex offender sort of crimes and they have no leads, maybe a call to that parole and probation agent asking for information about that person and does he have any contact with my particular county may be a good call.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what we're hoping this exchange will do, is it'll make folks aware. So obviously it'll increase situational awareness, but we really want to encourage that dialogue.
Okay. And dialogue is the heart and soul in terms of the exchange of information between law enforcement and corrections and parole and probation. And you got about 5 seconds. Right.
Yeah, great. And, what we're really looking to do is just to get additional fusion centers and additional states connected. So Once again, if you represent a state and you would like to get this information, please go ahead and get in touch with us at either search.org or appa-net.org as well.
Okay, Yogesh, you've got the final word. Ladies and gentlemen, we're doing a show today on information sharing between parole and probation, corrections, and law enforcement. Adam Matz and Yogesh Chawla has been by our microphones. We really appreciate both of you being here. Ladies and gentlemen, we really appreciate you listening to DC Public Safety. We appreciate your comments. We even appreciate your criticisms, and we want everybody to have themselves a very pleasant day.